I think it's really cool when God does stuff like that. We didn't communicate at all about that song, and boy, is that right on what we're going to talk about tonight. I think it's really cool when God orchestrates stuff like that. I have a question tonight. There's not going to be a PowerPoint tonight, so I want you to listen. Use your listening skills tonight. You'll understand why there's not a PowerPoint when we get towards the end of the message. So, the big question we have for tonight is, to be or not to be? Last week, Pastor Scott looked at the issue of why do bad things happen to good people? And basically, he was asking some of the same questions that I proposed to you the last time that I spoke to you. And it all has to do with this concept of, what is God doing? I just don't get it. I don't understand. Why does this stuff happen? Well, I wanted to bring a conclusion to that tonight, and I wanted to let you know that I still have no idea what God is doing. However, I do believe that I have learned another step in the process. And I believe it is just that, just one more step in the process of understanding who is God and who has he called me to be. And since we're in the series of what I wish Jesus never said, I'm going to take a little bit of liberty here and stretch that to include what God said. So we're going to go with Psalm 46:10 for tonight. And the passage, it's a single line in passage, and it says this: be still and know that I am God. Well, be still is not my forte. I don't sit still very well. And I find it very interesting that this is what God would have me speak to you about tonight, since it's not something that I do very well. But I think that you will be interested and you will come to see that it's not quite what it seems to be. And I think that's the interesting part. So to do a quick review of what I spoke to you about last time, because I think it's relevant. It's kind of the flip side of what we're going to be talking about tonight. We talked about lamenting, and we talked about some characters in Scripture that were crying out to God. We looked at Moses in Exodus 5, 22 and 23. We looked at Jeremiah in Jeremiah 12, 1 to 4. We looked at Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, 8. And we also looked at Jesus himself, who cried out to his Father in Matthew 27, 46. And we learned that crying out to God is a way of keeping the lines of communication open. So is it really possible that being still is a way to keep the lines of communication open? I've learned that I need to choose God. I've learned that I need to choose to never give up. I've learned to choose to remember, and I've learned to choose to never stop talking. Well, I think the time has come for my next lesson, and that's what I want to share with you tonight. I need to choose something else. And so the question is, what is that something else? So once again, just as Pastor Scott did last week, we're going to look at our friend Job, who I believe has an incredible amount of wisdom in the midst of sorrow. Job enters into his suffering with this attitude: whatever comes my way, I will not let go of God. Thank you.
There's an old, old story about a man named Job. It's one of the oldest stories ever told. Now, Job is a good man. In fact, the storyteller insists that Job is the greatest man in his whole part of the earth. Job is a good man, but he's also a wealthy man. He's got land and crops, and he's got animals, and he's got servants, and he's got a house full of kids. But in this story, everything falls apart for Job. Much of his wealth is stolen. The rest is consumed by fire, and then in a tragic accident, his kids are killed. And as if that isn't more agony than one person can bear, he ends up with these painful sores all over his body. So we find him sitting in ashes, mourning his loss. And he's got this broken shard of pottery, and he's scraping his skin just to try and get some relief. And his wife says to him, "Are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die." And then Job's friends come, and they sit with him, and they discuss what's happened. And they each have their opinions about why Job is suffering like this. And so they take turns giving their answers and explanations. Because that's what we want, isn't it? When we suffer, we want answers and explanations. We want to know why. Why do bad things happen to good people? I mean, is it just fate or chance or bad luck? Is it some sort of divine judgment or punishment? Or are we pawns in some sort of larger cosmic wager? And so they give their answers and explanations, and Job defends himself, and they give their opinions, and Job comes back with his perspective on everything. And so they debate, and they discuss, and they question, and they confront. And then, in the end, when everybody has had their chance to speak, God speaks. God speaks out of the whirlwind. And when God speaks, we find out that God has questions for Job. God asks Job, "Who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man, and I will question you, and you will answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? And tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. Who shut up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the cloud its garment and wrapped it in thick darkness? When I fixed limits for it and set its doors and bars in place? When I said to the ocean, 'This far you may come, but no farther. Here is where your proud waves halt.'" Job, have you ever given orders to the morning or shown the dawn its place, that it might take the earth by the edges and shake the wicked out of it? The earth takes shape like clay under a seal. Its features stand out like those of a garment. The wicked are denied their light. Their upraised arm is broken. Have you ever journeyed to the springs of the sea or walked in the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been shown to you? Have you seen the gates of the shadow of death? Have you comprehended the vast expanses of the earth? Tell me if you understand. What is the way to the abode of light? Or where does darkness reside? Can you show them to their places? What is the way to their dwellings? I mean, surely you know, for you are already born. You have lived so many years. Where is the place where the snow is stored? Have you seen the storehouses of the hail, which I reserve for times of trouble, for days of war and battle? I mean, where is the place where the lightning is dispersed, or the east winds are scattered over the earth? Who cuts a channel for the torrents of rain, or makes a path for the thunderstorm, that it may water a land with no one in it, a desert where no man lives, to satisfy a desolate wasteland and make it sprout forth with grass? Does the rain have a father? Who fathers the drops of dew? From whose womb comes the ice? Who gives birth to the frost from the heavens when the waters become hard as stone and the surface of the deep is frozen? Can you bind the beautiful Pleiades? Can you cut loose the cords of Orion? Can you bring forth the constellations in their seasons or let out the bear and its cubs? Do you know the laws of heaven? Can you set up dominion over the earth? Can you raise your voice above the clouds? Can you cover yourself in a flood of water? Do you send the lightning bolts on their way? Do the lightning bolts say to you, here we are. Who endowed the heart with wisdom or gave understanding to the mind? Who has wisdom to count the clouds or tip over the water jars of the heavens when the dust becomes hard and the clods of earth stick together? Do you hunt the prey for the lioness to satisfy the hunger of the lions while they crouch in their den or lie in wait in their thicket? Who provides food for the raven when their young cry out and they wander about in search of food? Do you know when the mountain goats give birth? Do you watch when the doe bears her fawn? Do you count the months till they bear? Do you know the times they give birth? They crouch down and bring forth their young. Their labor pains are ended. Their young thrive and they grow strong in the wild. They leave and they do not return. Who let the wild donkey go free? Who untied his ropes? I gave him the desert as his home, the salt flats as his habitat. He laughs at the commotion in town. He does not hear the shout of the driver. He ranges the hills looking for pasture, seeking out any green thing. Will the wild ox consent to serve you? Will he stay by your manger at night? Can you hold him to the furrow with the harness? Will he till the valley behind you? Can you rely on him for his great strength? Can you leave your heavy work to him? Can you trust him to gather together the grain and bring it to the threshing floor? The wings of an ostrich flap joyfully, but they are nothing compared to the pinions and feathers of a stork. She lays her eggs on the ground. She lets them warm in the sand. She is unmindful that a foot may crush them or a wild animal may trample them. She treats her young harshly as if they aren't even hers, as if her labor was in vain. She wasn't endowed with wisdom or given her share of good sense. Yet when she spreads her feathers to run, she laughs at horse and rider. Do you give the horse his mighty strength? Do you clothe his neck with a flowing mane? Do you make him leap like a locust, striking terror with his proud snorts? He paws fiercely, rejoicing in his strength. He charges into the fray. He laughs at fear. He's afraid of nothing. He does not shy away from the sword. The quiver rattles by his side, as does the flashing spear and the lance. In frenzied excitement, he eats up the ground. He cannot stand still when he hears the trumpet blast. When he hears the trumpet blast from afar, he snorts and he's aha. He smells the battle scent from afar. He hears the shout of the commander and the battle cry. Does the hawk take flight by your wisdom as he spreads his wings to the south? Does the eagle soar by your command as he builds his nest on high? He dwells high on a cliff, stays there at night. The rocky crag is his stronghold. From there, he seeks out his food. His eyes can detect it from far. His young, they feast on blood, and where the slain are, there he is. And then God said to Job, will the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? Let him who accuses God answer him. And then Job said, I am unworthy. Who am I to reply to you? I put my hand over my mouth. I spoke once, but I have no answer. Twice, but I will say no more. We want answers, don't we? We want explanations. We want to know why we suffer like we do. Could somebody please explain this? And there are times when the only honest, healthy, human thing to possibly do is to shout your question and shake your fist and rage against the heavens and demand an explanation. But true wisdom, the kind we find here with Job, the kind that endures, the kind that sustains a person through suffering. That kind of wisdom knows when to speak and when to be silent. Because your story is not over. The last word has not been spoken. And there may be way more going on here than any of us realize. So may you be released from always having to understand why everything happens the way that it does. May this freedom open you up to all sorts of new perspectives. And may you have the wisdom to know when to say, I spoke once, but now I will say no more.
Who am I to respond to God? There is a time to lament, to shake our fists at the heavens and to demand an answer. But then Job said, I put my hand over my mouth. I spoke once, but I have no answer. I spoke twice, but I will say no more. We want answers, and we want to know why we suffer like we do. We want to know why bad things happen to good people. Just a few weeks ago, I lost a good friend. He's 48 years old, 3 children, a father, a good man, Christian, leader in the church, leader in the community, to a terrible tragedy that happened. And I asked God, why? What reason could there possibly be, and what purpose could you possibly have that is worth the life of this man? I don't know. There is indeed a time to lament and cry out to God and ask why. However, what I am also learning is there is a time to choose to be silent. I spoke once. But now, I will say no more. The first time that I watched this video and actually listened to what God had to say to Job, I was speechless. I had read this passage many times. I've studied Job many times. But I never realized what God was actually saying here. And that it was only after everyone else had spoken did God speak. And man, did he make his point. So let's turn to our passage in Psalm chapter 46, verse 10. Be still and know to know that I am God. The most interesting part about this statement is that it isn't really as it appears to be. See, the word still does not mean to literally be at rest. It means to stop what you and I, in and of ourselves, are doing, to cease and to desist. Listen to this explanation from the pulpit commentary. It says, being still means you should not be fearful, nor fretful and impatient, or restless or tumultuous, but be quiet and easy, resigned to the will of God, and live in an assured expectation of the appearance of divine providence. I am a doer, and I am guilty of allowing what I do to define me rather than allowing who I am becoming to define what I do. You know, I came to this realization while I was working on this message. Do you know that we're called human beings and not human doings? Never realized that before. But I think there's a reason for that. You see, Christianity, our walk with the Lord, is not so much about what we've done, but rather about who we are becoming. So let's turn to God's word and see how this concept plays out in another passage. We're going to read in Acts chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me there. It says, he said to them, Jesus is speaking, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Now take notice what Jesus says here. Let's not miss it. Jesus did not simply say that you are going to go witness for me. What he actually says is you shall be my witnesses. Tony Evans, in one of his devotional books, states this, that the emphasis here was upon becoming something and not just doing something. If you get the being right, then the doing will follow. So, let's see what that looks like. As the young girl sat staring at the man, he asked, "What do you want?" "Nothing," she replied. "You seem to be a kind man with a peaceful heart, and it's good to be near you." It wasn't until Job and all of his friends stopped talking that they finally heard what God had to say. All too often, I am too busy, like the brothers and sisters, that I miss the visit of the King. Our being with Christ and our being in Christ has to come first. I wish I could have given you a PowerPoint tonight. I wish I could have given you three steps or some formula to put this idea into practice. But the truth is I can't, because it's different for everyone. And to be completely honest, I'm not even sure what it fully looks like for me. But I know that it includes choosing to be still. I stated it earlier, but I'll say it again. Christianity is not so much about what we've done, but rather about who we are becoming. So all I can say is that the question is, to be or not to be? And the answer is yes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you want to have a relationship with us. Father, that you want us to just come and to sit in your presence, to listen to what it is that you have to say to each of our hearts. Father, we thank you that you love us just the way we are. Father, I pray that tonight each of us would find a way to just be still, to be accepting of your will, regardless of what that may look like, to be able to rest in your presence, knowing that you have everything in control. Father, help us to develop a relationship with you, and out of that, learn to do what it is that you've called each of us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and have a great night.